Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to two scriptures, John 1, and we'll probably read 1 through 14, and Hebrews 1 as well. And stand to honor the word of the Lord. I want you to focus in today on this idea of the word. And I want you to be thinking about that, what God means and what the scriptures mean when we read in the beginning was the Word. So we'll just do that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from John, or from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. This is so important. They were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, I just love that scripture. I could keep reading, but I'm going to go on, because the great problem with this message today is time. Hebrews chapter 1:1-3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has it in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray that our hearts, our minds, our spirits might be open to the revelation that you bring to us today through your word, through the word as we read it in the Bible, through the word as it's preached, through the word that is expressed to every heart by your Spirit. Reveal yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. I was on the YouTube. I do a lot of stuff on YouTube, like watch fishing points and things of that nature. And I came across a person who was speaking of a politician that was a Christian, and who had said that God spoke to him. And he made a big deal of it. How could this be? God's, that's so dangerous. And I thought, wow, I must be really dangerous. The Bible speaks to us here and tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That in Him, that all things were made through Him. They didn't just come together, but they were created by His Word. This is the declaration. I want us to think about this today. I know it's Christmas and you've been eating sugar, but I want to get your minds thinking about this today and meditating on the fact that God speaks and that His Word is so powerful that when He first spoke, the worlds were created. Now, I believe that that was not a matter of evolution, but that was a matter of immediate creation. And because, why do I believe that? Because that's the best way to me that the Bible has expressed it. All things were made through Him. You notice a couple things, and I just want to quickly notice a couple things. It says, in Him was life. So in that Word was immediate creative life. And that Word that created the world, you think, what is basic to all things that we experience? One of them is life. The other thing that is basic to all things that we experience is light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. But God was before light. He had life in Himself, and out of the life that was in Him, He said, let there be light. And it came. The light came into the world, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or another way of saying that is, did not overcome it either. Light always overcomes darkness. And God's Word is light. And it is truth. It declares itself to be true. I'll come back to that in a minute. And then we see in the scripture here that this Word that was life and light became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God, from the very beginning of man, has spoken to man. He walked with him in the cool of the garden, Adam and Eve. And He spoke to man. And they conversed. And then, of course, we know the fall happened, sin happened, entered into the world. The curse happened, and it was harder for man to hear God. Harder, you know, for him to press through and hear that Word, that voice. But this Word became flesh. This is what Christmas is all about. The incarnation, that God became man and expressed Himself through Jesus Christ. And then we read in Hebrews. I love the way the writer of Hebrews puts it and said, in these last days, this is the last days of the last days we're in right now, let me tell you. And it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds. There it is again. who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. God is trying to express something through Jesus Christ. The very express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. And one of the things that he expressed, it says, when he had himself purged our sins, we know that to be the cross. This is, of all the things that God expressed through Jesus Christ, the greatest thing that he expressed was his love and his mercy and his grace through his death on the cross for our sins. He loves us because he died for us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He loves us because he shed his blood for us. It was not a happy day for him. It was not a happy day for the Father. But he laid himself down as a sacrifice that he might express his love. The most beautiful thing in the world, the most beautiful thing that has ever been expressed, is the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? It's the most beautiful thing that has ever been expressed. Second to that is the incarnation. It's the, you know, the beginning of that. That from the moment that actually the Bible says that before the foundations of the world, Christ was crucified for us. In the mind of God, Christ was crucified for us. So at the birth of Jesus, there's many signs that someday he's going to die for us and give his life as a sacrifice for us. Boy, I just feel like I'm just getting started here. So this wonderful word, who is the express image of God, says something. God speaks. God reveals himself. I want us to think for a moment, not about Christ as the Word, but the Word that we have known as the Bible. Because this Jesus said, he said, not one jot or one tittle will be removed from his word. He believed in everything that the Old Testament was saying, and of course he was making the New Testament in his life, and of course by the apostles that followed him. But I want to see, some people say, well, how do you know that God is real? Well, eventually it all has to become a step of faith. But anything that you do or think, whatever you think life might be consist of, or the reality of life is, or whether there is or isn't a God, an atheist has faith that there is no God. He has to take that as his presupposition. Our presupposition is, in the beginning, the Word. There was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. That's our, if you understand geometry, that's your basic postulate. That's the fact that there is a point, and 2 points make a line, and 3 points can make a triangle, and so on and so forth. That's your basic postulate. And what you have to believe that by faith. You have to make a choice. Is that real or is that not real? Is that true or is that not true? When it comes to Jesus Christ, he gives you no in-between where you can say, oh, well, he's a great teacher, but he wasn't God manifest in the flesh. Oh, because he would have lied again and again and again. And great teachers don't lie. So you have to make a choice with Jesus. Is he the Son of God? The Sanhedrin made a choice. Pilate made a choice. And Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. They said he isn't God. But today, billion, and it may be several billion, it's over a billion people believe that he was who he said he was. Throughout the ages, people have believed that Jesus is who he said he was, and their lives have been changed. Many, if not most of you, your lives have been changed because you've believed that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, died as a sacrifice for your sins, and rose 3 days later from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us until he comes again. He's coming again. With things we see in this world today, I tell you, he's coming again, because that's what the Bible reveals. Okay, let me get to the Bible real quick. 66 books of the Bible, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. It was written over 1,600 years by 40 different authors, but they have the same unifying theme. The Old Testament, through prophecies, through words, through laws, points to the coming of a Messiah and a as a sacrifice for our sins, and points to his resurrection, to a Messiah and Son of God. The scriptures claim over 3,000 times in various ways that they are the very word of God, both Old and New Testament. There are certain ones like 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible itself claims that it is not just like any other book, but that it is divinely inspired. It is God-breathed. For 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. In other words, somebody didn't decide, I think I'll make up something that God might have said. No. Did not come by the will of God, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. It claims its own inspiration. And you say, well, anything can do that. I can self-prove it. But over 3,000 times. So there again, you have to decide. Is it true or is it false? Is it real or is it imagined? You have to decide. Don't just do religious things. Don't just do things you think, because that would be absolutely senseless, wouldn't it? But when you believe the Bible, that God is who he said he was, and God is to be honored and to be praised, that God is to be worshipped and magnified for his goodness to men in the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, then you're bound to worship him. You're bound to give him praise. You're bound to fall in love with him, because he delivered you from the torment and punishment of sin, which is hell. We're bound to that. We're bound to fall in love with him. We're bound to know him and want to know him better. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Christ, I could tell you the story over and over again. But everything changed in my life. There are some things didn't change immediately. And some things still haven't changed. That's the truth of it all, you know. There's a lot of the personality is still there, but my reason for living totally changed. The self-destructive ways, the drugs, the alcohol, the anger took some time, you know. And he completely delivered me when the kids moved out of the house. The heart changed. Like the song we sang, like, but the heart, oh, the heart, that's the Lord's favorite part. It changed what I desired and what I wanted, and it all began to change. The Bible, when you believe it, it changes you. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament 283 times and alludes to the Old Testament 1,000 times. There's an incredible unity to the Bible. Can I tell you something? It's like no other book. It's not just another book. It is God's revelation to man. It is verbally inspired, and it is the revelation of man, God to man. It's the infallible and authoritative rule of life and conduct. It is the words of salvation. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit, they are life. The Bible is completely unique. It's the best-selling book in the entire world. It has been translated into hundreds of different languages. No other book is like the Bible. No other book gives hope like the Bible gives. You say, well, isn't the Quran, or isn't, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, or isn't something? No! I read the Bhagavad Gita. I know enough about the Quran that I'm just not interested. No, it's not like that. There's no other book. It comes from the Ancient of Days. Archaeology has proven thousands of biblical statements of history, and it never has proven a statement in the Bible to be wrong in history. It's not a history book, but it is a book that speaks to the history of ancient times. The Bible is not a book of science. It's not about science, but everything it says that pertains to science will be proven to be true. It is a book of prophecy, a book that has foretold the future over and over again. And thousands of scriptures have told of things that would happen in the future. Like the captivity of Israel into Babylon, that was foretold. The coming of the Christ, there are over 300 scriptures. Can you imagine this? You know, if you've just got a rational mind, there are over 300 scriptures in the Bible that are fulfilled by Christ. But there's a lot more to be fulfilled. He's coming back again. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. He's coming to catch his people up. 1 Thessalonians 4, to be with him. He's doing that in these last days. He's foretold a last days revival, and he's foretold an end time, time where there'd be a great falling away. Both of those things are going to happen in the end times. How many of you know there's been a great falling away? How many of you know this world has had the Spirit poured out upon it? I don't have time to go into it all. But all over the world, there's been a movement of God. In the last 50 years, there's been a prayer movement like no other. You say, well, I don't know any. Well, you just haven't been a part of it. It's time to get a part of it. It's time to start drinking in the Spirit of God. It's time to start believing the Bible and believing His promises. It's time to start believing the things that He has said. There's been a movement of praise in the last 50 years. We experienced it here this morning. I just love to worship God. But the last 50, maybe it's been longer than 50 now. A movement of praise that the Bible speaks about in Psalms 97, 98, and I think to 100. There's, before He comes to judge the earth, there will be praise in the earth. Still feel like I'm just getting started. The Word of God, the Bible, but it's written down for us. It's the I want you to think about this. It's the revelation of God to man. What does that mean? When I say to Dan, "Dan, I'm going to have prime rib tomorrow for Christmas. I love prime rib. What do you know about me, Dan?" What's that? You want to know more. He knows that I like prime rib, right? He knows a little bit. But that's just a simple statement. It's a revealing of something about me. Just like, we meet people, we begin to know them. We meet a lady that eventually becomes her, and the revelation just keeps going on. I met Judy years and years ago, and I like her more and more all the time. And so the revelation just continues, and the revelation of Jesus Christ just keeps happening. The written word is received to us. I've read this word at least once a year. One year I read it twice since I got saved. I love it more and more. I'm convinced of its truth more and more. Its life comes to me more and more. How many of you can say, "Yeah, that's me too"? You've read the word. And it becomes more impactful in your life. Jesus said, Proverbs says that the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. That's the revelation gives light. The revelation gives life of who Jesus is, what He has come. The Bible is not a book to be read like a science book or a math book or a history book. The Bible is a book to be read for salvation, for guidance in your life, for a healthy soul, to have joy, to know what God is like, to know what life is like. This is the Bible, and it'll do all of that, and you need it. I'm speaking to somebody out here today that really doesn't believe the Bible, is what I'm telling you. I want to tell you today, you got to start reading. Don't start in the Old Testament, start the New. Start in the Gospels and read about Jesus, because the Old points forward to Jesus, and what's past the Gospels points backward to Jesus. He's the very center of it. So begin with Him, because He is the Word made flesh. Begin with Him. The Bible reveals God. And as Hebrews says, Jesus is the very expression. He's what God wants to ultimately express to every heart and to every life. The Bible will heal your soul if you start reading it. The Bible will keep you from the devil's plots. A chapter a day keeps the devil away. The Bible will guide you. It's a light to your path, a lamp to your feet. And God speaks and reveals himself through it. Jesus is the Word made flesh. I can't imagine. I know the Lord, but I don't think I know him like John. Someday I will know him like John. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He says in his epistle, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. The Bible doesn't figure out God. See, Revelation is not figuring out something. It's not saying, well, 2 + 2 = 4. No. The Bible is a revelation. It never says we think it's that way about God, or we think it's always a declaration. It's always a declaration. And you've got to believe it or disbelieve it. You've got to accept it or you've got to reject it. You've got to say, yes, Lord. Or you've got to say, no, Lord. What are you saying today in response to the Bible? You've got to say, I need it, or I don't need it. And when you say, I need it, oh, please do something about it. Realize that nothing is more important. Nothing is more important to your soul, to your well-being, to your life than knowing God and knowing his revelation for your life and knowing who he is, having his guidance, having the health and life of his word spoken to your heart. To heal your heart. I want to tell you, when I got saved, not only did I get forgiveness so that I would go to heaven, I got healed. I mean, and the healing keeps going, you know, because I need it. Jim said, yeah. And body, soul, and spirit, the healing, the health of what's going on in the mind and in the heart, everybody needs that. I mean, everybody needs that. There's not, you can arrogantly say, I don't need God. And there's millions and billions of people that do that. But it's simply that. It's hubris. It's arrogance. And then the fact that God reveals himself. And he speaks. He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke through Christ and to Christ and the apostles. And some people say, well, you just read the Bible and you can't hear him today. He doesn't speak to you personally. That's a dangerous thing. No, my friend. He'll speak to you. He speaks to me when I read the Bible in my daily devotions. He can speak to me by his spirit. So do I go around saying, thus saith the Lord all the time? No. There's some things I know I know, some things I know I don't know, some things I don't know I know, and some things I don't know I don't know. Both about God and about life and, you know. I do know this, the Bible is his word. I know it. I know it. But I'm not so arrogant to say that God's so continually speaking to me that I can say, thus saith the Lord, to Dan, to Eric, to her. I should say that more, to her. She'll say, no, you're full of baloney. So we have to be careful as Christians that we're not spiritually arrogant. And the Bible says in Thessalonians 5, prove all things, test all things, and prove all things, whether they're so. And so we hear, 1 Corinthians 13 says, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So God is speaking. He makes sure that he knows it, but we've got to use the Bible to discern what is truly him and what is not. The safest way is stick closely to what the words. If something is different than what the word says, then it's not of God. John chapter 5, there's a word that says the Spirit and the word agree. There are people that are dangerous and arrogantly say, well, God told me to kill so-and-so. You know, you've heard stories like that on the news and so forth. God doesn't kill. He hasn't come to kill, steal, and destroy like the devil. He's come to give life and life abundantly. He's come to lift up. He's come to show mercy. He's come to show love. He's come to manifest his goodness. And so there's lots of things in the Bible that describe how God speaks to us. And if we haven't read the Bible enough to get it into our spirits and into our souls, then we can get off base with what we think God is saying. So I understand all that. There's a proviso to the idea. But he still, that doesn't negate, because he's spoken wrong through all kinds of ways, through people and people have come up with ideas that are in error, does not mean that he does not speak. He's been speaking from the beginning of time. He's speaking to hearts and to souls and to lives. He continues to do that today. And sometimes he uses his people to speak one to another in a prophetic manner. I still believe that. But that has to be tested by his word. So, is somebody crazy when they think that God spoke to them? Well, all the prophets of the Old Testament, therefore, are crazy. Jesus himself must be crazy. So you've got to make that choice. The apostles are crazy. You've got to make that choice. You just can't say, well, they were nice people trying to do good. No. And when the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary, you have to make a choice. Was Mary making it up? Did she just have a fling with somebody? Or was she born of a virgin? God has been expressing himself from the beginning of time. He expressed himself most fully and completely in the life of Jesus and in the words of his Bible. He's expressing himself today. He expresses himself in the Christmas story. What is he saying? What do you think the angels said? Now, get ready, because I'm going to ask people this. Get ready. What do you think God was saying when Gabriel showed up? What's he saying to us through that story when Gabriel showed up to Mary and told her, you would come under the shadow of the highest and you would birth a child being a virgin because of that experience? Dan, you're a preacher.
That he loves us.
Oh, that he loves us. Amen. Somebody else. What else is he saying? What did he say in the text? Mariah?
I mean, like, he came to give everything for us. Like, he sacrificed everything for us.
What does it say about Mary?
That she had favor of God.
She had the favor of God. Remember when she said, "How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" What did she say? What did the angel say? You know, all things are possible. Okay, I stumped them. I really didn't stump. They know that stuff. She said, Angel Gabriel said, "With God, all things shall be possible." Again, you got to believe that, or you got to reject that. You don't have a choice if you look at it rationally. You don't have a choice in the matter. Believe it or reject it. It's always the choice with the Word of God. What was God saying when he spoke to Joseph? Remember that experience? And Joseph's thinking, well, I'm just going to find a way to divorce her because this can't be right. She says, it just doesn't happen that virgins have babies. And then he has a revelation, right? And the angel comes speak to him. What did the angel say to him? You got it. You got it. And what will his name be called? Emmanuel. And Jesus. Why did they call him Jesus? Because, Jim.
Because that's what he is our salvation.
Because he shall save his people from their sins. This word is spoken to us again and again. In the Christmas story, in the stories of the Bible, how did God express himself to the wise men, to the magi, to the people that studied the stars? He showed them a...
John,
what did he show? He showed them a sign in the sky.
He showed them a sign in the star.
Yeah.
This is simpler than it appears, doesn't it? God expresses himself. God speaks. And it's a simple thing. It's not a hard thing, folks. Sometimes we're so worried about hearing God. When God wants you to hear him, he'll make sure you hear him. When the shepherd wants to move the sheep, he finds a way to do it. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." Sometimes he's silent. Sometimes he doesn't need to talk. Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we're filled with our own thoughts, our own ideas how some problem ought to be worked out in our lives, our own ideas how we should do this with a family situation, our own ideas about what should be done in business, our own ideas about politics in America and what should happen, our own ideas, constant voices, constant communication through cell phones and through TVs and through radios and through every means of media. The constant voices are coming to us again and again, and we are all so focused on it, we can't hear God. And God is revealing it. But he's not going to say, "Shake, grab him by the beard and listen to me." He's not going to do that. He's going to come and make himself known. He might be in a obscure little place and come to an obscure little place, a town called Bethlehem. He might even not get into the hotel because it's far too busy for him. He might just be back in the stable. And you might have to hear God like the shepherds. listen to the angels. There was no Facebook. They couldn't take the TV out there. You know, they couldn't do any of that stuff. They just sat and looked at the stars. Maybe they were talking amongst themselves. Maybe they were singing. And a revelation came. For unto you this day is born in the city of David Christ, the King. Well, we ought to go see that. And forever their names have been immortalized because they were ready to hear, they were open to hear, and they did what the angels told them to do. You'll find it to be true because the babe is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Who does that? What is God saying? What is God saying? When he sends his son, when his son's incarnated and becomes a human being, when God is manifested in the flesh, and he comes to a stable, dirty little stable. Maybe he's saying, I can take care of my son. I can take care of his mother. I'm big enough. I can see that he is worshipped by shepherds and wise men. I can see that he is recognized by people who are listening. Hear me? Who are willing to travel and do something different. I can handle that. I think one of the things that God was saying, you just check this out and think about this. I need to show the world the beauty of humility. The beauty of humility. There's something in the birth of Jesus, in that stable, in that barn. That's how we know Jesus was a redneck. He was born in the barn. You don't get more redneck than that. You don't get more blue collar than that, do you? The beauty of humility. What does God need to do to prove he's God? Besides 66 books of the Bible, besides dying on a cross, besides being resurrected from the dead, what does God need to do to get through to our lives about what's really important? The stable, if you don't think it's true. Just forget about it. Don't go through the motions because mom and dad did it. That's just being a liar. It's not that important. Well, we like to give gifts. No, I believe it's true. I'm going to have a great day with prime rib tomorrow. He was born and humbled himself to be born in a barn. Humbled himself to come into this earth to reveal God to men. Humbled himself to die upon a cross. Philippians says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is God, to the glory of God the Father. I believe that. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed here today. If you're here today and you don't know that to be true, but you want to believe it, you want to receive Christ, or maybe you've been convinced that it's true, not by me, but by the Spirit of God. The Spirit, long time, and you've been resisting possibly, or you've been too busy to hear. Given your heart to Christ and said, be Lord and be Savior of my life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want my life healed. I want my heart healed. I want my mind healed. I want to grow as a person. I want to know God. I want to know the meaning and purpose to life. If that's you today, maybe there's another situation. Maybe you gave your heart. Maybe you know that deep in your heart. You gave your heart to Christ at one time, but you just know you're not following him. God revealed himself to Mary and Joseph, and they had to take a trip to Bethlehem. You have to make a decision. You have to follow him. No, you believe, but you just know you're not following him. And you want to commit your heart and your life. You won't be perfect in doing so. Nobody expects you, because none of us have ever been perfect in following the Lord. But we're on a path. We're on a journey. And he's calling you today to follow him. Start afresh in following him. So if either one of those are you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor Chris. I want to believe. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to follow him. Is there anybody here today that would say, yes, that's me. Would you pray for me, Pastor Chris? Father, we give this time to you. We just lift our hearts to you. Could we have everybody stand? If you're a believer today, if you believe the Bible is God's word, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and today he's making intercession for you. If you believe that today, would you just lift your hands to him and begin to praise him? Begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth. Thank you for your revelation to us. You are our hope and you are our joy. You are our life. You are the light of our life. You mean everything to us. You mean everything to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.